Good morning, everyone. How we doing? I'll try that again. How we doing? All right. We're going to ask that you stand up right now, and we're going to open with prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. It is the June time. We got some warmth, and we're enjoying that, even though it got cold last night. But God, we're never happy. But we pray that we'll just be in your presence today. We'll just seek you in praise and worship here today, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Son of God, Son of men, is thy name.
clap for him. Give him praise. There we go.
Yeah.
we just thank you that every good gift comes from the Father above. We give you praise for your Holy Spirit here today. We thank you for everyone who is here, those who are traveling, those who are watching church online. And God, we just pray that your presence just fills this room, just fills each one of us who are hearing the sound of my voice, that God, that we just know that you have something awesome planned for us. And we give you praise for in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. At this time, we want you, everyone who is who is going to our kids' ministry, Haven Kids, they can head out now. And somebody near to you say, good seeing you in church today.
My name is Kathy Sullivan, and I am a member of Haven's Helping Hands, and our church is so generous, and we just wanted to bring in somebody from the Cecil County Pregnancy Center just to kind of like let you guys know what they do with all of our monies that we donate. The past several years, we've done baby bottle drives, which is what we're doing right now, and they're due on Father's Day, and... we've also done baby showers. So this is Jen Goslin, and she's from the Cecil County Pregnancy Center, so I'll turn it over to her just for a couple of minute introduction.
Thank you very much. And she said a couple minutes, I'll do my best, because the Cecil Pregnancy and Family Resource Center is very, very near and dear to my heart. I've been there since 2018, I guess. So just to give you guys a quick overview of what we do for those of you that may not know. So we are a faith-based nonprofit. The community donates items to us, and then we give it back out to the community for free. So we accept everything except used breast pumps. So pretty much high chairs, pack and play swings, bassinets, strollers, diapers, wipes, formula, baby food, gently used clothes, newborn to size 6. Anybody in the community can come in to the center up to 6 times a year. So they can come in 6 times a year, no questions asked. And if they need diapers, formula, baby food, what have you, we will help them. So every time anyone comes into the center, we do like to tell them about all of our services. So we do have an active parent program. We do parenting classes, life skills classes. We do encourage them to take the classes. The classes are incentive-based, so they earn baby bucks for each class that they take, and then with their baby bucks, they can shop in our boutique. So the baby showers that you guys have done in the past, that's how we keep our boutique stocked with new items. So it does incent them to, you know, try to want to be better parents. We also, you know, we want to encourage them to become more independent so they are not needing our services on a regular basis. So like I said, anyone can come in 6 times a year. They do not have to participate in the active parent program to get the 6 free resources, but then after that, they can also use their baby bucks for like additional diapers or what have you. Other services that we offer, we do free pregnancy tests and free ultrasounds between 6 and 20 weeks. So I'm not sure if you guys know, but the OBs and gynecologists in the area, there's only one practice in the county that is still delivering babies, and that's Union OB GYN. They are very, very busy, so depending on how many people are pregnant in the area, it may be 10 or 12 weeks before they can see the mom for their first OB appointment. So we can, we'll do one free ultrasound per client, so we can, you know, get them in, let them see their baby a little bit sooner, because they're nervous and just, you know, sets their minds at ease. The other thing that we use, the ultrasounds, we do also have many abortion vulnerable women that contact the center looking for abortion services. Obviously, we don't do abortions at the pregnancy center. We don't refer for them. However, we do want to offer them our love and support. We want them to know all of the options and services and resources that are available to them. A lot of time they're considering abortion simply because they think there's no way they can financially afford another child, or that they have no one that's going to support them. So we want them to know that we are there for them. We can help them with all the material items that will take that financial burden off. And then also we'll be there to support them, help them learn about their pregnancy, help them just learn how to be parents and all that. So having that support can make a difference in helping them realize that they do have other options if they so choose. I mentioned we are a faith-based nonprofit, so just wanna throw out there, we do not get funding from the state or the county. So everything we do is fundraiser-based. So I know people are always asking for your money, and I know we work very hard for it, but what we do in the community is, it's huge. There's so many people that need help. We, since I've been there in 2018, we have more than doubled the number of clients that we're serving, doubled the number of resources we're giving out. We probably see, on average, about 60 clients per week. So in order for us to continue growing the way that we are, we have to continue bringing in more money and more funds. So we do three big fundraisers per year. We do the Women's Luncheon in the spring. That's at the Chesapeake Inn in Chesapeake City. It's a very nice event. We are having a golf tournament coming up. We do a golf tournament every summer. And then we do a fall banquet in September. And then, of course, the baby bottle drives are our biggest fundraiser. So that's just a huge support for us. So I do have with me today some newsletters. We do a quarterly newsletter to just let everyone know in the community what we're doing, how we're serving. I also have some brochures that talk about the services that we offer. And then I have flyers for our golf tournament. So if anyone is interested in golfing, I'll have all of that after the service. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Amazing. Hey, oh, that's the wrong word. Good morning. I kind of liked hey. You didn't even respond to that, really? Okay. Jack doesn't know it, but I looked at his agenda. He gave me an extra minute. I guess because I talk too much, so I'm going to keep it short. Jen, thank you for what you do for the Pregnancy Center. And, over there. And Ed, see me after class. I have a package for you. First of all, we've had some sad, sad stuff happen this week, and I just really want to let our hearts reach out to Rich and Gail Juergens. They lost their middle son, Bill, this week, and they're traveling. And we want to give them traveling mercies, and we just really want to give them love because they've been on a hard journey. They have another son that is very ill, and he's doing okay. But we want to reach out to them because when it's your child, it's really hard. That's not the circle of life. So just keep them in your prayers. Jaden, she fell and got a concussion, and I don't see her today. So hopefully she's doing well. She'll be back next week. Gay Ann, we're going to reach out to her and her family. She is traveling, and she's going to be taking care of her dad with Parkinson's. So let's really lift her and keep her in our hearts. And I'm going to give Ed a caregiver package today, so maybe that will give them some help here at home. And my husband, his friend was in a motorcycle accident, not his fault, but they amputated his foot. yesterday. So I want to lift him in prayers because he's a good soul and we're real concerned about him. And now, holy cow, we're going to go to the praises because I'm excited. Can you tell? That baptism thing going on next week, we got a party going on. I think we're up to maybe 20, and I have somebody from out of town who came in and has asked to be blessed. So we are bumping those numbers up. So I want you all to be here. I need all my helpers hands on with the chairs and the tables, and go down and watch that baptism because it's going to be amazing. Amazing coming to Christ. It's just all, it's what we're about. It's amazing. Did I say amazing? Yeah, I guess I did. Oh, and I have to shout out to folks because I saw a few yesterday and they said, you are so funny. And one lady drove all the way from Slaughter Beach today to come and see me. Thank you, Judy. And she brought her friend, Debbie, from Lewis that are friends who know Jack and have gone to his church. And they were just in the area, so they just dropped in. I mean, is that amazing? I said amazing again, didn't I? Okay, that word's got to go. Graduation. How many graduated this week? How many families attended, went to, and saw graduations? Holy moly. Is your belly full? Yes. Amen. And this church is rocking with our youth because we've got all kinds of them going to graduation and going on and moving in forward in their life. And Donna, I didn't forget you and your mom. We're praying for her healing. Wes, God told me to put a little prayer in for you, and only him and I know what that's about. So I got your back. And now it's time to pray. I think I got everybody. And if I didn't, I'm sorry. Oh, Lisa, dang, and it's right here in front of me. Big one, sorry. Lisa Bailey. Thank you, Lisa. It was right here. Amazing. Lisa would like for us, her uncle is in the hospital, so we're going to lift him up in prayer. And her aunt's memory is getting worse with stress. So we'll lift your family in prayer, Lisa. I'm sorry. My bad. I am getting better. And I only have 1 minute, so let's pray. How do we pray here at Haven? Hands on our knees. And why do we do that? Give it to God. Whatever you woke up with on your heart today, your finances, your flat tire, your spouse that made you angry, your kid that you just can't believe they're still a teenager, give it to God. That health concern you have that's rocking your world, give it to God. God does answer our prayers, and he hears every prayer we give him. He lightens our load. He takes it off of our shoulders and takes it on to him. So give it to him and let him guide you through your life. And when we lift our hands up to Jesus, we receive the grace, the love, the kindness, the blessings. I know everyone in here is blessed. I have exceptional blessings. God loves me and he loves you. He loves every one of you. So pray to him, give him what's on your heart, and he will give you the answers to your prayers. I pray for Pastor Jack today. He is going to bring us a message about passion about God. And I am one that does have a passion. And I see it in this church, and I see it every day that I get up here. And I thank God for Haven. I asked you last week and a couple weeks ago to go out and pay it forward. When we love God, he gives us the ability to transfer his love to others. So pay it forward this week. Love somebody. Give them something they don't have. Because sometimes that may be what they needed on that day, that moment, to survive their life. So in all these things I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Church is.
The church is. Yeah.
Church is a place of worship.
The church is a house of worship.
A place of worship.
Yeah.
crooked?
Oh, definitely not honest.
Church is one of the centers of my life.
Corrupt.
Boring.
What you make of it?
The church is joyful.
Alive.
The church is God's best hope for the world.
I love the church.
All right, that's all we need.
Jesus lives.
All right, thank you so much.
In me, I hope.
You guys seem subdued today. Come on, it's all that hot weather this week. Sitting out at graduation cooking. How many did that? Yeah, I did too. It was good, but Hannah and Jesus graduated, so that's good, right? And a lot of people did, right? Graduated, had some good times, and dude, that's like, it's wild when you think about that. So I'm much too young to have a lot of graduates, but anyway, so it's all good. All right, so we're going to have a new series. We're going to do 2 weeks, but on this one's called My Church. We're going to do 2 weeks on this, and then we'll start another one after that. I'll talk about that in a second. A couple announcements I do want to touch on that are extra. That's a QR code that we have for your worship guide bulletin. If you want to use that digitally, you can go ahead and do that with your smartphone, which makes us all dumber, but that's okay. But the couple announcements that we have here that I want to touch on is, one, we talked about the baby bottle drive, and thanks, Jen, for coming up here and sharing that and everything that you guys do in the community for so many. So we have a couple more weeks for that, right? So we usually give that out on Mother's Day, collect it on Father's Day, and that's a good time to do that. So if I were you, here's what I'd do. I'd say plan on bringing it next week, because you'll forget Father's Day, and we'll say, okay, you can bring it again, just by knowing doing that. How many of you have ever done that? Lord knows, you don't have to tell me, all right? So, but we definitely want to go ahead and do that, and change, checks, whatever you got, go ahead. Put it in there. Next thing that we're going to talk about is, again, we still have a compassion one more week. And that's when, you might remember, some of you may not have been here, but a couple weeks ago on Compassion Sunday, you walked up to church and we had some chickens and goats and things outside. And you were wondering what was going on, whether Jesus was in here turning over tables or whatever. But no, we were doing that because we've given differently rather than just doing the sponsorship. For Compassion International, what we decided to do, and you can—it has the fees and things that you do that for. You can buy goats and chickens, and it's generational help. And again, I always say, hey, group with other people, come together, go ahead and buy some chickens, buy some goats, buy some things together, and then you can really change somebody's life and a family's life for a long term. And then next week we do have our baptism. On Sunday. And on our baptism, you can sign up for that online. Like Joanna said, we have about 20, in the range of 20, that are doing so. And there will always be people who are here that say, hey, I'd love to. Why do we want you to register? Because then that way, we also have the ability to go ahead and we have t-shirts and other kinds. I think Keith's wearing one today up there. He has one on that you'll receive. And so we'll have those on next week and have a good time. And if you've been through baptism, go ahead and wear your t-shirts next week and we'll also do a unified front. And so we get to be fed spiritually in church. We get to go down and just see God do some really cool stuff with baptisms. And then afterwards, we come in here and we get to feed our bodies, which is also awesome. Anybody like food? Okay, if you don't like food, something's wrong with you, all right? So we want to go ahead and have you do that. Then, after next week, we're going to start a new series for a while. It's something that I did many, many years ago, but I thought it was just pertinent for this time. And it's called One Month to Live. And basically the premise of that is, if you had 1 month to live, if you went to the doctor and they said you have 1 month to live, how would you live it? How would you live it differently? And if you would live it more passionately, if you would live it more fully, if you would love more boldly and those things, why wait till you have 1 month to live to do that? Why not start doing it now? And that's the whole premise behind that. Because Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly to the full. So let's start that now. Okay, sound good? All right, so today we're going to do this two-week series, and this is the first week. That's how it works, 1 and 2 weeks. And it's based off of Matthew 16:6, which is where Jesus said this. He said, I will build what? I will build my church. He said, I will build my church. And I like that he said, I will build my church, because he didn't say, I will build the church or I will build a church. He takes it very personally. He says, I will build my church. So this is his church. And Christianity is not about Christians. It's about the gathering of Christians. And it's about a group of people. That is what the church is. And so Jesus says, I will build my church. And here's the promise. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. And so that's where the series is based from, because Jesus loves the church. You had a number of different people saying their theories on church, and they were all over the place. And then, but Jesus loves the church, and he takes it very, very personally. And when I was thinking about this past year, at the beginning of the year, we celebrated 15 years of ministry of Haven Community Church, which is a complete miracle. And I challenge you to go back and listen to that, because every once in a while it's good to do that. When I was preparing for that anniversary Sunday, I remember just like going, wow, how did that happen? Wow. There were so many moments where, hey, this isn't going to work out, and God made a way. You know why? Because it's his church. He says, I'm going to build my church, and my church is Haven. And when we have that, God always makes something happen. And you know what's interesting? I was thinking about Haven is truly a miracle, and I'm glad that God put me as part of it. But one of the things that's really hard about planning a church is when you plant a church, you don't have anybody. You know, you don't have any people at all. You just, you got God, and you know, I had several because I had my family, and I got five kids, so the attendance was really good right off the bat. But they were there. But that's the hard thing. The good thing is you have a blank page. And you kind of say, okay, how are we going to make this happen? And you get to kind of like idea with ultimately what God wants with the church. So I started thinking. I remember over the years that some people would come and they'd be like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. And sometimes somebody would say, I got to talk to you. And you, when you do that as a pastor, when he says, hey, I'd really like to talk to you, and you're like, uh-oh, what did I do? You're thinking that way. Okay, what do I do now? I talk so much in church and life, I don't know what I said, so I probably offended somebody. Anybody else like that? Try being a pastor. It happens a lot, all right? So I remember one person came up and said, I just want to tell you I love church. I just love this church. And you're like, okay, wow, that's awesome. And I started thinking, you know, why? And one of the things is, like, sometimes, when we see, like, you can tell the difference from the people in that video who ask, church is, the ones who said it's joyful, it's, I love the church, when there are people, boring, I haven't been in a while, corrupt. You hear all those kinds of things that are in there. You can tell that their experiences with church and with church life may have not been the greatest, or they may have been the best thing ever. And so what if Jesus said, I want to build my church, what if we looked at what he built this upon, and what if we were passionate? What if church was like a fresh breath of air? What if we looked like all week that there's all this kind of stuff where like, oh my gosh, thankfully I get to go to church on Sunday. I get to stop the world and I get to connect to God. Like what if Bible reading was just something exciting, a breath of fresh air? Or what if we made prayer like that? Or what if we made serving like that? Or what if we made helping others? Or what if we made worship like that? What if we said, my gosh, I can't wait. Would the traffic please move? I got to get there for the first song. I don't want to be late. I want to worship God. All right? What if we said that? What if it's not like we come to church because it's not something we have to do and it's not a duty, but it's just a delight and something that we're passionate about? What if church was a place where people were standing in line, like getting Taylor Swift tickets to come into church, you know? Maybe I'll just announce Taylor Swift is going to be at church next week and see how many people line up, right? The Bible says this. The Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, come and let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, and I, along with you, depending upon the church, sometimes may have said, I was mad when they said to me, I got to go to church, or I was sad when they said to me, come and let us go to the church, or maybe other times you said, I was glad when he said, this is the benediction, and you left the church. Anybody had any experiences like that? All right? What would the church look like, and what would we have to do if we were passionate about church life and the church, where the Lord says, my church is passionate about God? I give something that we just love more than anything. And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus told us that there would be a generation
who would lose their passion. He said this. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are mere human rules. They honor me with their lips. They're showing up. They may talk. They may check on a box. I'm a Christian, or I'm a believer. Or they may take communion. They may go get baptized. They may go ahead. And like I've had many people do, say, hey, I want to get my kid done. You know, and I would say medium well or rare or whatever. But, you know, that we think it's like something to do, like get your first haircut and that kind of thing. We want to get them done in christening or baptism. They may even read daily Bible readings, and they may be serving in areas. But the bottom line is they don't enjoy it. And he says, the Lord says, and now they're just worshiping me in vain because they're just doing what people told them to do, and they're not enjoying it. It's laborious. They're just following human rules. And God never intended for us to follow human rules. When you look at Jesus, when he had this biggest problem he had with the Pharisees, was they were taking the freshness and the intimacy and the passion that God had, and they were making it very rigid rules. And what we've done is we've had experienced Christianity for 2,000 years, and we keep taking the freedom in Christ and the passion and the enthusiasm, and we want to put them back into rules because we like rules. And Jesus says, no, that's not my church. That's not what I want to build. I want to build a passionate church. And the church was never intended to be boring. It was never intended to be boring. Now, have I sat through boring church? Yes. And if you say you didn't hear, you're in trouble, and Jesus knows who you are. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's sad when we go and we're in the presence of God's people. And we're here connecting to the Lord, and we just can't wait until it's over. And a lot of times I have this kind of pet peeve, but I also look at myself and I say, you know, if I'm really, really honest in my life, if I'm really, really honest, that there's a lot of things in my life that I have outwardly been more excited and passionate about, right? By my actions. Like I can say in here, I've got it together. But when I look about it, like for instance, NFL, when the Eagles play, I am a lunatic, all right? And I've got to wait this year. There's only like a couple 1 o'clock games. Ron and I were talking about yesterday, only a couple 1 o'clock games. I am going to be a lunatic till like Monday morning, you know? I mean, it's going to be horrible. But Major League Baseball, and the Phillies are letting me down, so I really don't care right now. But, there kids' activities. Anybody ever been to kids' events? I know Justin and others have coached and umpired and stuff. And now I joke you got to wear Kevlar underneath your umpiring vest because these parents are absolutely insane. And you're not shaking your head because you're one of them, right? You know, like they're calling from the stands, oh, it's horrible, ref, kill him. You know, like, oh, I'm just here volunteering, you know, and we're going through this thing. And I got to tell you, I'm guilty of that. Rachel did travel volleyball, and we were up in York, and they had this big tournament. And let's say I get kind of like passionate about everything. But she was there, and it was filled. This whole big room was filled, and those games had finished off, and we were the last game. And they were playing. It was a close game, and Rachel hits this ball, and I'm on the side, and I see the ball. Somebody go up to block it, and it went. If you block it, it either goes down, or if you get your fingers on it, it would change direction. So Rachel hit it, and it went upward a little bit, and the referee who was up on the stand said, out on us. And I went, that's a terrible call. And it was about as quiet as it is in this room right now. To which the referee went like this and looked at me, and I said, it was. All right. So, I mean, I've had many of those moments in life. I was used to being in Rising Sun Gym when they'd have volleyball and they'd be screaming and you couldn't hear anything. And then we went to this gym in Delaware. It was a private school, and it was like, hit the ball, yay. And I thought it was like at a you know, like golf match or something, you know. And something, I'm like, come on! And Melissa goes and looks at me like that because it's echoing in this big gym. I mean, I'm insane about stuff like that. When I coached, I would be like all over the place. It's just who I am. But then I say, when I come into church, I change. I should be more passionate here. I should be more passionate about the things of God in here. And a lot of us will lose our complete minds at any you know, T-ball games. People lose their minds at T-ball. They just go, these kids don't even know where to run. And you were guiding them like, yeah, you scored. Nobody cares, right, in the grand scheme of things. But we come to church dull and energyless. It's not what the Bible talks about. In Romans chapter 12, look what it says here. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And you know, the term zeal comes from zelos in Greek, Z-E-L-O-S. And you know what it means? It means white, hot, boiling over. Isn't that cool? Go tell somebody, like you may look at your wife and say, you are zealous. You're white hot and boiling over. You know, I don't know. But, you know, it's like, wow, it's just really exciting. It's something that's there. And Christianity was intended to be white hot and boiling over, not simmering on the lowest thing, right? White hot and boiling over. Nobody runs to the pot on the stove if it's going. But if it's starting to boil over, what do you do? Oh, right? It gets your attention. And that's what the Christian faith is supposed to be about. You know, we may start off in our lives on fire with an on fire faith, and then life hits. And then struggles happen, and then disappointments occur, and our faith kind of gets stale at times. And all we've got left is like a burning ember that's just hanging on there. I heard a story of a guy who was hired. He was looking for a job, and he's really enthusiastic because he got hired. He got hired to paint old country roads, to paint the lines on the roads. And so he was hired by the boss. He said, here's your paint can. Go ahead. It's years ago. And he went ahead and began to paint the road. And he did it. And at the end of the day, when it came to be paid, his boss said, how much did you get done? He said, I got 2.5 miles done. He was like, oh my gosh, that is crazy. He said, I love my job. And the boss was really impressed and paid him. And at the end of the second day, the painter that got done, he said, how much did you paint? He said, I painted 0.5 mile. He was like, that's kind of weird. He did 2 in the first day. He's like, okay, well, hey, maybe just the enthusiasm wore off a little bit. So he went ahead and gave it to him. And he said, the third day, he reports back to him. And he said, hey, how much did you get painted a day? He said, 400 yards. He's like, what? He said, I don't understand. The first day you did 2.5 miles, and then the next day it was less. It was 0.5 mile. And then today, only 400 yards. What's happening? And he said, yeah, well, the walk back to the paint can is a little bit longer today. All right? And many of us live our Christian walk like that. We get really on fire for the Lord, and we are painting the stripes wherever we go. Woo! Woo! And we run back the second day, and we go, okay, I'm going back here. And we're living on that. And by year 2, 3, we're just like, because we're going back to the same paint can where the Lord says, great is your faithfulness, new mercies every morning is what I see. Bring the paint can with you and expect them to fill it up again. And so we need to be enthusiastic. We need to have that passion, and that's what the Lord provided. So I want to fan that flame today, that ember. Some of you may have just a burning ember, and so I'm going to go, okay? And I want it to fan a little bit, and we're going to fan that flame, and we're going to throw some logs on the fire, and we're going to we want to get passionate. We want to do church God's way. Why? Because whose church is it? His church. It's his church. Now, one of the pet peeves of mine, and I have several because I just think that way, but one of them is whenever you watch a movie about Jesus, like in Hollywood, have you ever seen how they depict Jesus? They never depict him as the Bible really creates like an image of him in the way he is. He's always really gaunt. You know, he's like, he's always like mellow and high and, you know, and he talks like this. And you never see him smiling. You know, you never see Jesus smiling in these movies, do you? And he's always got like that curveball hand position like in paintings, you know what I mean? Anybody know what I'm talking about? He's like, I'm Jesus. Right, you guys know what I'm talking about here, okay? And he's like there, and so this, we got this image of Jesus that he's just like, and that's how we go about it, and that's not how Jesus was. I mean, we don't have a picture of him, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think he walked around and said, "Oh, blessed are those who throw the curveball." I don't think he did that. I think what we see about Jesus is people loved to be around him. They sought him out. Little kids were hanging all over Jesus. like he was, and the disciples were like, get these little kids out of here. He's like, no, 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 this is fun. And I thought about, you know, when we were in Haiti, that we had time out from working and lifting these giant rocks, and we were tired and we were sweaty and all kinds of other stuff. And then when we had a break, we became the jungle gym for every kid in the neighborhood. I mean, Dale even got peed on. It was awesome. And he got peed on so much, he took the kid who peed on him and gave him to his son, and he peed on him. You know, they were that excited. You know how awesome you got to be to have a kid that doesn't even want to get off you? They just go to the bathroom right on you. I mean, you know, this was Jesus. He had kids all over him and grabbing around his neck, and you take, you know, in Haiti, you take one off and another one, and they're just all on you. That's not Jesus going, No, that's not Jesus. You've got to be an incredible, like, just awesome person to have kids want to come around you and just to be with you and to just to be excited about you. And then we make Jesus into this something that he wasn't. He was passionate about so much. In John chapter 2, there's a story that tells us about how passionate Jesus is. And a lot of us don't like it because it doesn't fit in our image of Jesus. And it's, he went to the temple. They would go to the temple. And it says in the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at the table exchanging foreign money. Now, let me tell you what happened here. When you went to the temple, you had to give sacrifices. And if you go back into the Old Testament, you find out how they used to do that. If you were wealthy, there were certain things. If you weren't wealthy, you had to do other things. Has anybody ever been to an amusement park? Right? You know how, like, once you get in, everything goes three times higher in price? Anybody ever notice that? This is what was happening here. So you had these poor people that were coming in that didn't have anything to go ahead and sacrifice and bring in, yet when they came into the temple, they were paying Disneyland rates. And it infuriated Jesus. It just infuriated him, and he was about ready to lose his mind. And they were selling stuff. Money changing, what they were doing is they were giving you an exchange rate. Okay, well, we only use this as temple money, so we got to give you this, but we'll take more off the top. And they were ripping people off, and it just did something in Jesus. Remember what passion means? White hot boiling over. And he was like, he was passionate about this. And listen to what it says. It says, then Jesus made a whip from some ropes, all right? He went ahead and said, not here. He went and took some ropes, made a whip, and he didn't go, No, he didn't do that. He started whipping them around, whipping this whip around, like all over the place. And look what it says, what he did here. Let's go ahead to this next slide. There we go. He drove out the sheep and the cattle, scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor. He turned over the tables, and then going over to the people who sold the doves, and that was really important because the doves were often what you would sell to the poor people, jacking them up. He went over to them, and he said, get these things out of here. Sound like Jesus is going, would you guys please mind, you know, this isn't really cool. Could you please, please? No, he was boiling over because he had a passion. He had a passion of things that was going on. He chased them out of the temple. I mean, can you imagine that ruckus? I mean, we had animals out here. Imagine if you were coming up to church and all of a sudden you see the stampede of animals and doves and tables being thrown over. You'd be like, oh, I'm not getting out now. What's going on in there? And this is what he does. And he went over there and he told them. Maybe he's trying to light a little fire into them. But imagine what I always like to say. We know a lot about disciples. What were they thinking? Uh-oh. What's going to happen now? Someone might say, oh, yeah, here we go. This is what's going to happen. This is cool. Let's go. I'm ready. You know? They might have been that. Been doing that stuff, but then what happens? What does he say to them here? He says, stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. Then he said to his disciples, then his disciples sitting there like, what the heck's going on? He was furious because they were ripping off people in order for them to worship God. They were using them. And his disciples saying, what in the world? And then all of a sudden, look at what it says here. It says, then they remembered the prophecy from the scriptures. This prophecy from Psalm 69 that says, the passion for God's house consumes me. That's passion. That's passion for God's house. Jesus said, I'm not taking this. No, this is wrong. And he wanted to get it right. Why? Because he was going to build his church, and that had no part of his church in ripping people off. I want Haven to be a church that never loses passions. I want people to say, oh, I was so glad that I went to the house of the Lord today. And I'm glad that I came to church. Not that I came, I went to church today. I mean, the weather's bad. I didn't have anything else to do, so I just thought I'd slide in. It's been a while. Not bad. I want to say, wow, I just really want to connect to other people in Christ. And I just really want the Lord to connect to me. So what we're going to do right now, don't worry, at mock speed, we're going to go ahead and go through four things that the scripture tells us about passion and in the church. And the funny thing is about these four things, I have, you have, we all have become lackadaisical at certain times about them. So you ready? Here we go. Number one, his church, my church, the Lord says, will have a passion for prayer. A passion for prayer. When the Bible talks about prayer, it talks about being passionate. For most of us, when we sit there, and there's all types of prayers, but for most of us, when we think about prayer, we think about heads down, voices go down, maybe you kneel on the ground, or and there's nothing wrong with kneeling, and you get really still and quiet. And that type of prayer definitely has its place. But it's not the full type of prayer that the scripture talks about. In the book of Acts, we learned that they were in prayer on the day of Pentecost, and they raised their voices together in prayer. It says that the place where they were meeting, because of their prayer and the Spirit, was shaken. That it sounded like a sonic boom, bam, that happened in that place. It was like a stadium. You ever been to a stadium? Like it's like, and people just sitting there talking. It's just like this roar that's going on. It was just like that, just a roar. It wasn't like, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, that's a really demented prayer to teach our kids. Have you ever thought about those words? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, we're telling our little kids, hey, go to bed, honey. I think you might die. You know, I mean, that's weird. Sorry, just me. All right. But anyway, you're thinking about it now. I got you. All right. So, but just know what it looked like in Matthew chapter 21. It's the same account that we just read of Jesus clearing out the table. And look what he says here. He said, it is written. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, passionate prayer. But you're making it a den of robbers. James chapter 5, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So guess what? If you're not fervent in prayer, it's not going to avail much. Did you say that the other side of it? We have to be passionate in our prayer. We have to go ahead and really communicate to God what we want out of passion of our heart and what we want to see him do. And so if we aren't fervent, then we may not have an answered prayer. And so I just encourage you to go after God in prayer. A couple times in my life, I've had examples of this kind of like loud New Testament prayer. And one of the coolest was a couple times in Alabama when I went down for a conference, and they would have give us an example of their 21 or 14 days of prayer, which we will do 14 days of prayer this August, where we'll meet a couple times during the week, early in the morning, and just be praying here just for God to lead us in prayer, and then we'll go about our business. It's an hour long. And so we'll meet that. But it was really cool to hear hundreds of people. Yes, some people went and they knelt and they got still. Some people sat in their chair. Some people were on their knees. Others were like me, because like my mind goes all over the place all the time. It's not a shock to you who know me. But like, if I get still and I'm like, okay, my mind, I say, Lord, thank you for today. And I'm like, yesterday was pretty good. And tomorrow is, and I'm all over the place. Anybody have that problem in prayer? So you know what I do? I talk. I move. I'll get up. I'll walk. I'll be like, okay, Lord, let's go ahead. You know, I just want to thank you for who you are. I'll use a model prayer, whether it's like the Lord's Prayer, and use that as a model and share that. And we've got prayer guides that we give away for you to have those things just to teach you more about prayer. I'll have prayer requests that are there, and I have that. And I go ahead, and before I know it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I spent this amount of time in prayer. And somebody may say, well, you didn't close your eyes. Yeah, you don't want me to. I'm going to run into stuff. But I'm talking with God. I'm keeping in step. And it's much more fervent and it's much more effective with Jack moving around and talking to God than if I just sat here and went like this. Because that's what I need. I need that. And in this arena, there's people doing it. And there's thousands of people just talking and praying to the Lord. Now, I grew up in church and I love church. I always did from the youngest age. But I do remember going to some churches that were just boring. Like really boring. Like boring. And you know, like, and then some people would start with, "Most gracious Father." I'm like, oh my. You know, or whatever they would say. It just was like boring. I got nothing. And I was trying. But you know, in church growing up, there was always different types of prayers. And I was thinking about this. And you know, one of my favorite types of prayers, and some of you are going to laugh about this because you've done it before, is the circle prayer, where you hold hands. Anybody ever done this? You get together in a circle and you hold hands. And usually what it would be is a leader, you know, whether youth or Sunday school, would start, and then it would go around, and when you were done, you would just squeeze the hand next to you. Now, I want to give you a rule of thumb here. You do not want to be the last person, because the last person, everybody's used up everything you were going to pray for, you know what I mean? And you're like, I got nothing to say. And if you're in the middle, you're starting to freak out a little bit. You're like, okay, well, like, let's say this. And sometimes you're there, and you're like, okay, I'll pray for the nation. That'll be good. That'll be really good. And somebody right before you goes, and I want to pray for our president, our nation. You're like, darn, what would I do for my dog, Sparky? And, you know, like, whatever. You're trying something. And sometimes when you don't have anything, and it's really, really kind of funny because you'll hold hands, and sometimes people don't want to say anything, and it's like you're almost doing like a wave to people. Boom, 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 boom. Amen. You know, like that's where you get to in those times. And it's just really kind of cool that one of those prayers that I've always seen. But I also love the ones where, hey, does anybody have a prayer request? Yes. Oh, and somebody's like, oh, yeah, I have a prayer request. And you say, okay, what is it? It's unspoken. And you're like, Yeah, my prayer request is unspoken. Then why did you tell me? I don't, you know, you're like, maybe we need to speak it out to God. Maybe we need to present our request to God. Maybe God just wants to say, God, I need this. Yoo-hoo. I mean, if I'm passionate about something, like I can tell you, when they cut off my electric, I'm not going to call and say, you know, I have a problem. And they say, what is it? It's unspoken. Right? You know what I mean? When we have something that we're passionate about getting fixed or working out, we are on the phone. We are calling everybody. We're going there and we're saying, this is my problem. So why would we say, God, it's unspoken? Tell him. Tell him the desires of your heart and go ahead and just get in prayer with people. We need people who go after God, who go after God. And, you know, like when I want to really get hold of somebody, I will call you. I will text you. I will social media you. I will hunt you down because when I want to get hold of you. You know what I mean? That's how I am. So why not, if I want God to hear what I've got to convey to him and give to him because he's going to take care of it one way or the other, why don't I just hunt him down? Why don't I chase after God like I do somebody when I'm asking them what time they're coming over for dinner? We need to have that passion to hunt God down. Prayer seriously works, and that's why we have prayer lists. We have prayer lists online. We have prayer lists in any, you can text them, you can just use the app. You can go ahead and email, and they go out to people right away. And prayer works because we depend on God. So what do you do if your prayer fire has died out? And let me give you a tip before we move on very quickly to the last couple. Make prayer our first response, not our last resort. One of the things we do a lot of times when something happens, we try everything, and then we go, well, I guess all we can do is pray. I guess the only thing left to do is pray. Well, just pray. Now start there. Let's pray and then let God figure out the rest of the stuff and we'll get there. Give it to God and trust him to believe in it in Jesus' name. Number two, my church, Jesus says, has a passion for praise and worship. I connect so much through praise and worship. I know not everybody does, but I do. I actually had times in my life where I just didn't want to be part of praise and worship, and I suffered mainly. One of the things is I think because we, Jill and I had a mom who was a music major and was always in church music in some way, and we were singing from the moment we could talk, and sometimes even before we could talk, we were singing, and we were, you know, in front of the church and singing, and it just, I connected that. We would go to hymn sings back in the day, and somebody would yell out, "In the garden." I'd go, "Yeah, of course, in the garden." And then we would have these hymn sings all the time. We would go, and it was when Southern gospel music was big, and we had a group called the Christian Troopers that came out of our church, and we would go all over the place with them. I mean, it was just, that's just something that was part of our life. And then I loved just worship, And I'm not the best guitarist at all. I'm absolutely not. Jake is. But anyway, but I, I just love worship. I mean, I love it. I can't get work done if I'm listening to music. It takes me to another place. And but you know, one of the things is I want people just to experience the joy of worship. We're not just singing songs. We're just singing praise to God. And that's why I'm really picky about like some of the songs that are out there, because some of the songs have a good tune, but it's all about me. It's all about me, God. Here I am, God. It's me. I want. No. It's about Him. It's about His church. We should always be willing to praise Him. One of the most difficult things in the world is to connect people to passionate praise and worship. You know why? Because we've been told for years, just, you know, keep it together. You're in church like this. And then I was at a church one time, and I remember I was used to, like, when somebody did something, we were like, yeah, you know. And I went ahead, and it ended. I went, you know, nobody else was clapping, just me, you know. And anybody been part of that? And then you go to a church where they don't stop clapping the whole time. Like, they're clapping and dancing and sweating and all kinds of stuff. I was like, yeah, go God, you know. And I didn't know how to react there either in many of these cases. But you know what it's about? It's about just free in the Lord. And I know how to react at a football game. You know what I do? I do what comes natural. Yes! No! Why am I not doing that in church? Why am I not doing that in church? Why am I not worshiping God with that? Because the Bible doesn't tell us not to get too excited. What does it tell us? In the biggest book of the Bible, the Psalms, it's all about praise and worship. And there's 150 chapters, and some of the most notable voices are this. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, you know, I don't know that I've been part of a worship where everybody's clapping and everybody's shouting. It says, how many people? All you people. Clap and shout. We cannot let our worship to stay low key because we deserve to give it to God. Mark 12 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Why do we worship God? Because He's worthy of our praise. Some of you say, are you serious? I'm like, yep, big time. Some of you, the only freedom you got is in your foot. Well, tap that sucker till it falls off. You know what I mean? But think about if that was your little kid running to third base when he hit the ball in T-ball, and you're like, yay! Are you giving God anywhere near that? You need to give God that kind of praise on Sunday. Come on, my soul. Praise the Lord. A biblical example of that is one of my heroes of the faith is David. And David was a worshiper by heart. I mean, he really was a worshiper. And David had the greatest just favor of God. And he's the only person in the Bible that God says, my covenant will be with you everlasting. It will always be Jerusalem and always be the city of David. And God honored David for one reason. Because David was the biggest mess up in the whole world. He was. He was a mess up. But he was passionate about God. He was passionate about praise and worship. When one time the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, was stolen. And then they found it, and they got it, and they were bringing it back in. And David stripped down into spandex. That's what I call it. It's basically a priestly garb. And he did it, and he began to dance before the Lord, it says, with all his might. And so what ended up happening, it's really kind of interesting. It says, after six steps, David would say, whoa, stop. Let's give sacrifice and let's praise God. Six steps. And you know how long he did that? For 8 miles. Six steps every 8 miles. That is 14,000 steps. That's 2,347 sacrifices over 8 miles. You think by the 2,340th, they'd be like, can we just get back home? Some people were. Is it like, you know, this is taking longer than I thought, 8 miles. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait, stop. Woo, yeah, God. Like, come on, David. I'm sure there were some doing it. But he was passionate about that. And the fact that he was passionate about the presence of God and the power of God was so amazing. And in Samuel 6, he gets home. And his wife was Michal, who was the daughter of King Saul, who David had replaced. And it says she looked out her window and she despised him, seeing him dancing and his spandex and like, yeah, God, and dancing around. And it said, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, And listen to the sarcasm. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of slave girls, of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would be. You think she liked his church experience? Not one bit. Not one bit. Not even more. But look at what David said here. David looked at Michael and said, it was before the Lord. It wasn't about you. I didn't even know you were watching. I really didn't care. I was praising the Lord. That's who I was worshiping. I don't know what you want to worship. You care what they think? I don't, because I care about what God thinks, and I'm worshiping him. And then he says, and by the way, you're just mad because God chose me, not your daddy. A little dig there at Michael. And then he says, oh, by the way, I will celebrate before the Lord. So get through your head. If you think it's bad now, get ready. It's going to get a lot worse. I'm gonna get a new spandex. And then he says this. Look, he goes on. He said, I will become even more undignified than this. King of Israel, not dignified for a king. He said, I don't care. I'm David, and I'm just nothing, but I'm worshiping God. And I don't care what you say. You and your daddy and his family can do whatever. I'm worshiping my God and my king. How many of us have that approach that we could care less about what the people around us think? We just got to worship our God and our king. You know, 15 years is awesome when we look at this and in this church. And maybe if we said, like David, hey, you know what? Hey, we're going to become even more undignified because, you know, we just want to worship our God and our king. And what if people said, you know, that's just a bunch of fanatics there. And we say, yes, we are. Yes, we are, because we're fans of God and we just want to worship him. And so why is it acceptable to be a fanatic about little Johnny's lacrosse or little Mary's recital, but to be reserved and emotionless about God? You know, as a kid, I used to love to go through Dover, like when you had to go down through the air base and you see the big planes, or like even going to Virginia Beach when you're sitting on the beach and all of a sudden it goes by. And I read a story about how in South Carolina at Cherry Point, there's a problem with the base there, because it's a Marine base, because the F-16s fly over the interstate. And when they're going, it's like a big boom. And it freaked people out so much that they would get into accidents, and it was causing accidents. So they were like, wanted to put up something to warn people what was happening, and they wanted to give it a patriotic thing. So here's what they did. They put this sign up, and I think it's really kind of cool. It says, pardon our noise, it's the sound of freedom. Anybody been freed by the Lord? Anybody been freed by Jesus? You got anything to thank him for? You have any bondage in your life that he broke away that you say, excuse me, I don't care what you think, I'm a little bit crazy and I'm shouting a little bit more today, but I have something that I've been freed from. And guess what? Pardon my noise, but I'm going to get a heck of a lot louder because I know what I've been freed from. How many of us can bask in that presence? And I got some other verses that are really cool, but I don't have time for it, all right? So, but we give God, listen, we give God what he deserves, not what we feel like. Not like I like that song, or I don't think I'm feeling it, or it's too loud, or it's whatever. It's not our choice. And you know what's really cool? If you haven't felt the presence of God yet, check your worship, because it says he inhabits our praise. He inhabits our praise. He inhabits our praise. Clap your hands, all you people, all right? Number three. Real quick, passion for God's word. Let me give you some quick scriptures here. Passion for God's word, just really loving the word of God. Like, for instance, just reading it, just looking at it, just loving it. Just you like, if every Bible disappeared, what would you do to go get it? There are people in the world that take Bibles, they get them. The first thing they do is rip them apart, and we go, oh, to the Bible. They rip them apart, they give pieces, they memorize it, and then they give it to somebody else, so they can put the word of God into their hearts. And that's why in 2 Timothy, it tells us, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be equipped for every good work. Psalm 119, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. For your word is a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. And Hebrews 4 tells us this. The word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God has not left us to figure stuff out on our own, but he's given us his word to lead, guide, and direct and empower. All right? Number four, and this is probably number one on God's list. My church, Jesus says, will have a passion for people. We never believe that the church should be just be a place where Christians are. This area, when we started this church, did not have a shortage of churches. Matter of fact, this area has a church on every corner, just about. It's not just the fact that God said, you know, another church, but he wanted something different here. And when I look back at all the things that God has done in spite of me and through all of you, and I just know that God's not just in love with us. Because the scripture says this, he so loved the world. He so loved the world that rejects him, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. He doesn't just love the world. He so loves it. So loves it. And anything that God is passionate about, when he says he so loves the world, that means he's passionate about it. And anything that God is passionate about, we need to be passionate about as well. And so we need to do anything short of sin to reach every single person who doesn't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 20:24 says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. And what is that work? The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. How do you keep your passion for people? Because it's hard, because people, I have a shirt that says I used to be a people person until people ruined it, right? Remember, a life lived for others, a life not lived for others is not a life. As believers, our life is not about us. It's about others. So what do? For some of you, the fire has gone out and you need a spark of the Holy Spirit. For others of you, it's there and you need to fan the flame. God's not, what's interesting is God doesn't just say, it's okay, just stay there, it's all good, and just ride it out till it burns out and you die. No, he actually holds it against us. And this one was hard for me to look at. Because in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it's the last thing that Jesus really says when he's confronting the church in the Bible. And he says this, he says, yes, yet this I hold against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. In other words, you're not where you should be. Notice he doesn't say, so that's it, I'm done with you, goodbye, get, you know, I had your chance. No. He's a God of second chances. He gives us another chance to come back and return. He says, just stop for a minute and think how far you have fallen. Think about in your life where one time you were just so on fire that God, that your relationship with the Lord, your worship was in a different place, your Bible reading was in a different place, your prayer was in a different place. Everything was just like, it was just you and Jesus, and it was just there. And he says, consider how far you've fallen from that. Consider how the flame's just gone down. And so what do? Here's the big church word. Repent. You're like, oh, that big word. It means turn around. Just turn around. Just turn around and do the things you did first. You know what you did first? When I think about my faith, I didn't know all kinds of deep theology. I didn't know all kinds of good, bad, and ugly in churches. What I knew is that I had a need for a Savior because I'm a sinner. And Jesus gave his life for me and died on a cross. And I need a Savior, and the only way I get this mess taken care of and I get to be present with the Father and have a newness of life is by having a relationship that he offers me. And that's where I started. And if I started there, I got to get back to the basics. I got to get back to the beginning. It's the most positive word in the Bible, repent, to turn around. It's awesome that he gives us a chance to just turn around. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how low the fire is burning, no matter how much is there and how much it seems like it's died out, it's pretty cool that the wind of the Holy Spirit fans the flame, but on the day of Pentecost, fire fell. Today, I believe God wants to put some wind in the coals of your life and your faith, and where it's like just teetering and going to go out, he's like, that's okay, I got the Holy Spirit Bic lighter, you know, there we go. And he's going to light you up again, and you're going to get that fervent, passionate prayer, that life. But there's a warning at the end of this. If you do not repent, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place. If you ignore this call from the Lord today, you have a chance of burning out totally. If I sadly could remember over the years, 27 plus years and then 52 of my life, the number of people who were on fire for the Lord who burned out and could care less, it's heartbreaking. Be passionate about Him. Everything else I'm passionate about in life fades away. But He remains forever and ever. I don't think we want our passion to be totally gone. We want that fire of the Lord. All right? We good? All right. So my church, that's what the Lord wants to do. Let's come on up and let's stand and let's worship the Lord one more time. And now you're thinking, oh, gosh, what's He want us to do? Hey, it's you and God, the Lord. I'm not taking names. Not today, at least. The Lord says, I will build my church. This isn't a guilt thing. This isn't anything else. This is just, God has so much in store for us. So much. And if He inhabits our praise, let's just praise Him. It's not about the music. It's not even about the words right now. It's not about the tune. It's not about whether you can sing or not. Because worship's not singing. It's an atmosphere of that. Praise and worship is an attitude of the heart and mind. How many of us really believe that in this moment, the presence of God is going to meet us right here? The creator of the universe, the savior of the world, that as I sing and I get my heart and my mind ready to say, okay, I'm letting everything aside go and I want to focus on you. How many of us honestly believe in our hearts that if we do that, He'll meet us here? I do. And I want you to as well. So just bow with me in prayer. God, I don't even know what to say. I just know that You're good and You love us and You have a passion for us because You so loved this world with all its mess and me with all my mess. You so love me. Let's not take it out of the world. Let's say, for God so loved Jack that He gave Jesus. And so, Lord, I just ask that during this moment that I will experience Your passion, I'll experience Your love, I'll experience Your favor. And that, God, like David, I am a complete mess up. David was a horrible father. He was, in many ways, not very good as a leader or a compassionate man. But he was a worshiper. And even in the midst of tragedy, when his first son was dying, he prayed and he worshiped and he trusted You. When he was out in the fields with the lion and the bear, he worshiped You. Whether he's facing Goliath, he worshiped You. Whether he messed up, he was at the lowest point in his life, he worshiped You. And that connected him to Your heart. So God, right now, there's people in this room who are going through all those circumstances. They're facing giants in their life. They're facing family brokenness. Facing job problems. They're facing, you know, attacks from all over the place. Just worship Him. Connect to the heart of the Father here today. And Lord, we'll just give You praise for all that in Your name. We also thank You for the ones who are giving today through tithe and offerings. If you're visiting, just receive today. Just receive what the Lord has for you. For everyone who does give, we just thank You for Your giving, but also we ask for Your blessing upon those gifts and tithes to meet the ministry of Jesus, because it's His church, not mine. It's His church.
And he takes it and leads it and guides it wherever he may go. So, Father, here we are, here to seek you. Let us just chase after you during this time. Some of us may have a prayer right now that we need somebody to pray with us. And there'll be somebody up front and a couple in the back just to pray with you. That you've been dealing with it unspoken for too long, and you just need to tell somebody, hey, I need prayer for this. Just speak it to the Lord and let him answer that. So God, move in this place and in our hearts and your lives, for we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
right. You feel good? Hey, before we get out of here, let's just give God a shout of triumph. Give him one. Woo! There we go. All right. Next week, we get to celebrate even better triumph because we get to celebrate people who are outwardly saying, hey, I have decided to follow Jesus. And we're going to have a baptism and a meal afterwards, and we're so excited for that. Come on back next week. If you're visiting with us today, please see one of the people out there with the Haven shirts on. They'd love to connect you, and we're just glad. Thank you for being here. Have a great week. God bless, and worship and freak people out there. Awesome. God bless.